Good morning. Today I want to review for you an excellent, though often very sad novel by Diane Chamberlain, Necessary Lies. There are two primary narrative voices, Ivy, a 15-year-old girl who lives on a tobacco farm and takes care of her intellectually challenged sister, Mariella, her grandmother, whom everyone calls Noni, and her nephew, baby William. Mariella's infant son was born out of wedlock. Jane, the other narrator, is recently employed social worker for the state of North Carolina, and Ivy, her sister, and the household are some of her first clients. Jane has just married a doctor who is not at all happy with her taking a job at all, let alone one in which she deals with welfare recipients and even, oh my gosh, people of color. Mariella has her baby and refuses to name the father. Mariella is a beautiful blonde girl who is intellectually challenged, and although the reader is not informed of this until fairly far into the novel, she has already been sterilized under the pretense of an appendectomy due to her low IQ and her being on welfare. Noni, the grandmother, has agreed to the sterilization because she thinks the family simply cannot afford another baby, and Mariella shows no sign of changing her behavior with the boys who chase after her. Mr. Gardner, the owner of the tobacco farm, allows the family to live for free in a tiny shack on the farm. He also allows a black family, headed by a mother, Lita, to live in a similar shack with her three sons, one of whom is almost completely blind. Noni lives in constant fear that Gardner will force them to leave the house and to stop giving them produce, which they refer to as a little something extra. Both girls work on the farm for very low wages, and even the grandmother, much hampered by arthritis, works some in the tobacco barns, stripping and wrapping tobacco leaves. It is only after some weeks on the job that Jane learns of the eugenics program in North Carolina. She's just beginning to gain the trust of Ivy when she is told by her superior that the state is preparing to take baby William from the home. She comes to learn that Mariella has already been sterilized, although Mariella has not been told, tricked into the procedure and told that it's simply an appendectomy. Ivy is the good girl who worries about the promiscuity of her pretty sister and the declining health of Noni. Mariella has a wonderful relationship with her infant son, but she is neglectful, and the state decides that baby William is in danger in the household. Soon Jane begins fighting on two fronts, fighting her husband and his family over her work, which they find unnecessary and demeaning, and her superiors, who think themselves entirely justified in performing sterilizations without informing the victims for a variety of trumped-up reasons, but most of it coming down simply to their being on welfare. Although Ivy does well in school and seems quite bright to Jane, certainly bright enough to keep her family together and fed, IQ tests brand her as being low normal, and when she, despite her success in school and her general rule of staying away from boys, also turns up pregnant, Jane is instructed by her superiors to draw up a petition for sterilization of Ivy at the time that she gives birth to her baby. Ivy has been in love with the gardener's youngest son for much of her childhood, and when he insists that by pulling out before ejaculating, she will not, cannot get pregnant, she defers to his wisdom. Because Ivy is a minor, she does not need to consent to the sterilization or even be told about it. Her grandmother is essentially forced into giving permission by the threat of losing her home and her welfare checks. When Jane informs Mariella that she's been sterilized and threatens to tell Ivy what will happen to her when she gives birth, she is summarily fired for insubordination. Her husband wants out of the marriage, and it seems her life is about to come completely apart. I've probably already told too much of the story, but there are a number of wrinkles I have not touched on and that make for a very complex ending to this novel. What is very clear is that Diane Chamberlain has thoroughly researched the eugenics program in North Carolina, and as she says in her author's note, quote, "From 1929 until 1975, North Carolina sterilized over 7,000 of its citizens. The program targeted the mentally defective, the feeble-minded, inmates in mental institutions and training schools, those suffering with epilepsy, and others whose sterilization was considered, quote, for the public good." And continuing with the author's note, "While other states had similar programs, most of them stopped performing state-mandated sterilizations after World War II, uncomfortable over comparisons to the eugenics experiments in Nazi Germany. North Carolina, however, actually increased its rate of sterilizations after the war." Close quote. While in the early years of the program the focus was on institutionalized individuals, it shifted that focus to women on welfare later on and became a tool for reducing the welfare rolls. It also became more and more targeted to African Americans. By the late 50s, 64% of those sterilized were African Americans. While it is obvious that Chamberlain's main focus in this novel is the eugenics program, she creates very believable characters and spins out an intriguing story. I applaud her bravery in informing those of us who are not as historically educated as we should be about this woeful program. I know I've painted a bleak picture here, but this is really an excellent novel and one that deserves a wide audience. I've been talking about Diane Chamberlain's 2013 novel, Necessary Lies. This is Larry Bolden for the Old Mole Variety Hour.
I'm Mr. Green Christmas, I'm Mr. Sun, I'm Mr. Heat Blister, I'm Mr. 101. They call me Heat Miser, whatever I touch starts to melt in my clutch. I'm too much.
He's Mr. Green Christmas, he's Mr. Sun, he's Mr. Heat Blister, he's Mr. 101.
They call me Heat Miser, whatever I touch starts to melt in my clutch.
He's too much.
Thank you.